And good evening. Welcome to Bible study tonight. So good to see you. Hope and pray that you're ready for a blessing. Thank you for setting aside an hour tonight to invest in your spiritual life, invest in your walk with the Lord, to learn from the Word of God, to be encouraged by being with God's people. We welcome those of you that are watching online as well. Thank you for your faithfulness in joining us. Much to share tonight, much to rejoice about, and then also to be in the Word of God. We chose the great chorus, "O Magnify the Lord, and let us exalt His name together," to begin our Wednesday night Bible study. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and may His name be lifted high forever. I think this will be a good way to focus us. Stand if you would. Let's lift our voice and let's magnify and worship the Lord together.
Oh magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh magnify the Lord, oh magnify the Lord, and may His name be lifted high forever. Worship Him, oh worship Christ the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh worship Christ the Lord, oh worship Christ the Lord, and may His name be lifted high forever. King of kings and Lord of lords, may His name be lifted high forever. Oh magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh magnify the Lord, oh magnify the Lord, and may His name be lifted high forever.
Amen. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father God, that is our desire tonight, that You would be magnified in our presence. Lord, the Apostle Paul wrote that wonderful verse that talked about You being magnified in our body, whether it be by life or by death. The supreme desire he had was that Christ would be exalted in and through him. It's a Wednesday night Bible hour, Lord. This is the time that we need as the people of God, and we need as from the Word of God, and just to be renewed in our faith and in our walk with You, and just to be reminded that our God is eternal and seated on the throne of heaven and always in okay in our Father's hand. And so thank You for that. I pray traveling mercies for those that are still coming to the property. God, guide them and protect them. Lord, I pray Your richest blessing upon all the facets of ministry tonight, from the nursery all the way up through the adult ministry. Thank You for this wonderful privilege. We love You. Thank You for loving us first. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around and wave. Tell somebody hello. Don't touch them. Just wave to them. They can feel it. All right, you may be seated. I can't wait till we shake hands again and hug necks again. I don't know when we're going to do that, but we're going to do that again, I promise. And I don't know how, but hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to do it pretty quickly. Brother Joey's on vacation. He normally does our prayer tonight, so he is away. I trust that you will pray for him, and he'll be back with us on Monday. And we're glad to have those that have been traveling back as far as dropping off their kids at college and going about the country, and glad to have you here. And so thank you. If you're watching online, I trust that you will let us know you're watching in some way, either through the website or Facebook. Just make a comment there. We did have a technical issue on Sunday, and we always know we have one because the phones around here start lighting up, and I appreciate that. And I believe they were able to get it fixed. Thanks for your patience. If you're watching online and there's a technical issue, that is not permission from the Lord for you to stop watching or to change the channel. That's just the Lord wanting you to be patient. and pray and check back in a couple of minutes and we get it fixed up. I have a feeling that if we're not careful, we get a little bit of glitch there and we'll just be going a different direction. So thank you so much for doing that. So much to share. I have a whole piece of paper written down here with just wonderful and blessings that God has done and things that people are trusting the Lord for in their life. We're supposed to have a visiting family with us that are planting churches in Miami. I've never met them. I'm just wondering if they're here yet or not. Pastor Lewis and I, 5 minutes. Okay, he's on Miami time. That'll be great, Nick. When Wyatt comes in, wave to me. Okay, that'll be wonderful. I'm glad you heard that response out there. And planting a church in Miami, and we're excited about that opportunity there. If you got your ink pen, go ahead and get it out and get ready to write down some things and just hear some of the things that our folks are going through and they're trusting the Lord for. We want to give God glory. Dominic Adepetro is giving God glory tonight. He was able to get a good job and he's graduated college. I believe he's getting a job within his major. And so he's just rejoicing tonight. I know his mom and dad are rejoicing with him as well. Wanted to let you know that we got a request coming in from Sherry Minor. Do you remember Sherry and Ron Minor? We love them. They watch online sometimes, part of a great Baptist church up there in South Carolina. Sherry's at, and they may be watching tonight. She's asking prayer for her sister Laura. And God is really moving in Laura's life. We've prayed for Laura before with mental and emotional issues. And she just feels like there's a breakthrough getting ready to happen. And she wants us to remember her sister Laura in prayer tonight. And so I would beg you to do that. Devin Newton has asked for a prayer request for a lady that she works with. And she's going to have to undergo some serious health issues. And she's praying for her soul. Because this goes out over the airwaves, I won't use the lady's name, but Devin has a card at the welcome desk tonight, and she was wondering if God would lead you on the way out, if you would stop by that welcome desk and just write a little note praying for you. The card will be fixed out there, and so she could hand it to her coworker and let her know that her church family is praying, and use it not only as an encouragement, but use it also as a witnessing opportunity for this lady. I think this is a fabulous idea. I hope and pray that you'll remember and stop by the desk on the way out. The Joints are giving praise tonight. Brian's mother is recovering well from COVID-19, and this is a true miracle, and they want to give God glory because she suffered from two forms of pneumonia, I believe, at the same time here. And so her life really was in jeopardy, and God has sustained her life, and so they're praising the Lord for that. Speaking of sustaining life, Judy Dulligite is giving God glory tonight, asking also for prayer as she continues her treatments. Karen Fuller is also asking God for prayer tonight as she's continuing through her medical things. Tiffany Hernan is praying for peace and God's protection as she goes through medical procedure. If you hear somebody's name that you know, you want to make sure to jot it down in your memory, maybe reach out to them as well. Danny Law, a man in our church, he's going through a medical issue as well. Danny and Pat, you remember them. Joy Allington wanted me just to praise God. He's beginning to answer prayer for the restoration of broken relationships in her family, especially with her children. She so desperately wants God to heal those broken relationships and bring those kids to Christ. And she said that God has done a major work this week, and continue to pray. She sees the hand of God moving in that capacity. Brother Oscar is seated right down here. His lovely wife, Kathy, will be undergoing a knee procedure this coming Tuesday. Pray for Kathy. She's probably watching online. She faithfully does. And they're trusting the Lord through this. And they want her to be bathed in prayer. Debbie and Juan Vilches are, to give you an update there, they're continuing in their cancer treatments. Debbie has a PET scan coming this coming week, and she's asking for prayer as well. Jill is seated in the back there, and she's asked prayer for her Aunt Mary Ann, who is diagnosed with cancer. And so pray, if you would, please, for Jill Cassis and her aunt, who's had this diagnosis. I think we ought to pray for our college kids as they go back to school, our teachers as they go back to school, and then, of course, we're keeping all of our frontline responders, policemen, nurses, doctors, pharmacists, all of those folks in our prayers. I see Roxanne Porter's name on my list, and Chris and Roxanne, we've been praying for that three-month-old little baby who had a brain bleed. I do believe that God is working a miracle there in protecting little Ryan's life. There's a major unspoken that goes along with this, and I mean a major unspoken that goes along with this in their family. And so would you just lift Chris and Roxanna Porter to the throne of grace, that God would give them wisdom and guide them according to his perfect will. And this will be so important as well. I would covet your prayers for myself, and this will go into our next prayer request here. I will be leaving tomorrow to go to Cleveland, Ohio. And I've been asked to come to Cleveland, Ohio on request of Candy Hinkle. How many know Candy? You know Candy, right? Candy is in Ohio tonight. And you may have remembered that Candy shared a wonderful prayer request and praise for her brother Dale. She had witnessed to Dale and witnessed to Dale and wanted him to know the Lord. And about a month ago, God was drawing him in just a powerful way, and in a way that Candy didn't even really recognize was going to happen. The conversation led to salvation, and Dale said right there to her, "I need to be saved. I would like to be saved." And Candy had the wonderful privilege to lead her brother to the Lord. On Sunday, he dropped dead. Wow. 30 days. Maybe he knew the Lord. And she called me, crying. They found him. He was blue. They tried to help him. She called me back and she just said, "He's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. He's with Jesus." You imagine that? God tendering your heart, pressing upon you your need to be saved. What if he'd have put it off? What if he'd have said no? What if he'd have said not now? And he'd have dropped dead without the Lord Jesus. But he dropped dead. And come to find out, and this is something I wanted to share, Dale and his family in Ohio, I don't know if the church up there is closed or whatever, they have been watching our services for about the last year or so. So every Sunday they tune in and they've been listening. And then after Dale got saved, he really was listening and learning. So they felt like there was a connection between Plantation and Baptist Church. So they called and they said, "Pastor Hunter, would you come do the funeral?" So I'll fly to Cleveland tomorrow and fly back on Friday. I plead for your prayers for protection. But I know that there will be a lot of unsaved people at that service. A lot of unsaved people. And you got the testimony of a man that received the Lord and never dreamed at 55 years of age on a Sunday he'd just die. That's why you better be ready when you die to know where you're going to go. Amen. And so it's wonderful. Pray for Tracy, Dale's wife. White is their last name. And so this is going to be just a powerful and wonderful time. Do you remember our missionary, Dr. Wilson Babu? How do you forget Babu? Come on. Do you remember where he was a missionary to? India. And do you remember the people he was a missionary to? The lepers. And you remember the story how he told about the leper with his stump grinding the food? Okay, so Dr. Babu emailed me, and his family, his wife and some of his children, I think, are sick. I'm not sure if it was COVID that they're sick with or whatever, but in India, they're not well. And so he's requesting prayer for his family tonight, and so we for sure want to do that. I was going to share with you that you know, even though churches have been kind of locked down, what's going out over the airwaves God is using? You think about a man getting saved in Ohio. We had another person tied to our church from the country of Colombia. They've been witnessing to their family in Colombia, and that family was getting close to knowing the Lord. So the person in our church got a hold of Pastor Ruben, because I don't speak the heavenly language of Spanish. And Ruben, Pastor Ruben, FaceTimes the family in Colombia and had the wonderful privilege to lead that person to the Lord in Colombia. You know, God saves people all over the world. One Jesus, one salvation, one eternal life. And so I just thank God for what he's doing there. Pastor Lewis, that's you, right? Stand up just a minute. Tell us who you are. Tell us what God's called you to do. Let us look at your face, get to know you a little bit. You're planning a church in Miami. Yeah.
And obviously we're in 2020, and God gave us a peace to go back and do what only he could. That's the same plan. So just pray for us, me, my wife, and our two little boys. We're going to target the Miami Lakes area, and as the Lord leads and as the Lord carries, we want to proliferate and propagate the church. We want church plants around in Kendall, as the Holy Spirit leads and provides resources and human resources. But I'm just encouraged to be with you here this evening to see how the Lord's moving here and using this lighthouse for his glory and honor. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Welcome, Pastor Lewis. It's so good to have you. He met Pastor Nick at a preacher's meeting and was so gracious to drive up tonight. And so grew up in Kendall and going back to Miami. Did you say Lakes?
Yeah, Miami.
Miami Lakes. Now, have you already started the church? Okay. Okay. Yeah, you make sure you let us know where that is and an address and afterwards, because we know people all over down there and people that need the gospel, and that would be a good opportunity, good outreach. Amen. All right. I want to have a word of prayer for our request and just give God glory, and then we have a chorus to sing, and I'm excited to teach tonight from Esther chapter number 8. Pray with me if you would, please. Oh, Coral, were you raising your hand? Yeah. Phil Simon. Yeah, they were here Sunday. Phil and Beulah Simon. And it was precious. I will pray for them. Heavenly Father God, I agree with Pastor Lewis. What a joy it is to be in a place where God is working, God is moving. And the evidence of that is souls are being saved. We love people. Man, if we could have our way, we'd have everybody come to Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We love our neighbors. We love our family. We love the people we work with. We love the people we go to school with, the people we do life with. And when you're a believer, every relationship you have, you're just praying, God, please let them see Christ. Let them see Christ. Miami needs the Lord. It needs good Bible preaching churches. What a harvest is down in that part of the world. And it's just like you to take a young man from the area and send him back there. He knows that area, knows the people, knows all of that. And this time he comes back not with suicide or depressional thoughts, but with thoughts of heaven and salvation and the word of God and the power upon him. So I pray your richest blessing. Lord, I pray that tonight would be a wonderful partnership with us. Lord, so many things that you've done here. I just give you praise and glory for touching people health-wise, touching people financial-wise, job-wise. You just are marvelous, answering prayers from mothers that are wanting restoration for their children, answering prayers here for wisdom and direction, and we just praise you. Lord, for those that are needing request and petition tonight, and there are many on there for health and so on, I pray that you'd meet these needs according to your marvelous ability and your power and your glory. Work them out according to your wonderful will. Lord, we trust you for your wisdom, for your timing, and for your faithfulness. Lord, I'm sure that within this room tonight and people watching online, there's needs everywhere. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. And it doesn't have to be communicated verbally for you to know it. And so I pray tonight that we would just cast our care upon you, that as we listen to the lesson tonight, that what you did in the life of Mordecai and Esther, you'll do in our lives as well. The same God that moved back then is the same God that's still moving today. And we thank you for that in just a wonderful way. Lord, for a man to get saved about 30 days before he dies is just tremendous. Dale's eternity could have been dark and torment, for his sin had separated him from God until he met Jesus, who covered his sin by his blood and brought to him a restoration between God and him and saved his soul. Man, what a delight. I can imagine the smile that was on his face when he saw Jesus. And then just the chill that probably came over his spirit when he thought, oh God, I was so close, so close. May we ever be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God when it comes to people. Lord, I pray you help me preach tonight and teach tonight with power and authority, but with just encouragement. I just want to be an encouragement tonight. I beg you to do that. Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our building program. You're providing so wonderful. Lord, you just watch over every facet of it. We're so excited. I'm excited for the testimony it is to the community. People are calling and asking what's going on, driving by. And I pray for all those involved in that you'd protect them, give them wisdom, courage, strength, the ability. Just put your hand upon that, Lord, in a powerful and wonderful way. We love you tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Little chorus that I want you to hear yourself sing before we have our lesson. And you may not know it, but I know Brother Rod knows it, and he does a pretty good solo. So if we just listen to him, we'll be fine. But you can join in. Stand, if you would, one more time. I will serve thee because I love thee, and you've given life to me. Concentrate on these words, and let it just prepare your heart for the preaching.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruin lies are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. Let's sing it one more time. I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. have given life to me.
Amen. Be seated and take your Bible, if you would, back to the book of Esther. Find, if you would, tonight the 8th chapter in the book, Esther chapter number 8. There are only 10 chapters in the book, and so you understand that we're making our way. I don't want to finish the book, to be honest with you. It's just seems like I go back and read chapters that we've already went over, and there's just so much more there, and just encouraged by rereading and seeing our awesome God as we find him in the book of Esther, hidden in plain sight. That has been the title of our series, and so fitting a title is it, as we know from the book of Esther that nowhere in the place in the book, on any chapter or any verse, is the name of God mentioned. Makes it unique in and of itself as the only book in the Bible where that is. But yet, on every page and every chapter and every verse, we see God's presence. We see his omnipresence, his omniscience, his omnipotence. We see his hand at work. We see his heart. We see his wisdom. And if you look very, very carefully, you will find him in plain sight. And you know that this is a book, theme-wise, that deals with the providence of God. You know that this is really a book of the deliverance of the nation of Israel. And this was a time in their history when there was a plot to destroy them in Shushan and in this region. And you know the story of how God had to stop a wicked man. We know this man's name to be Haman. Many Bible scholars will say a lot about Haman and the Antichrist, as we know that his hatred for Mordecai and for the Jews did not just originate within him, but you will find that it had a demonic depth to it for the total annihilation of the people of God. And it's the story of how God brought about a deliverer, and how God brought about a lady named Esther, and moved accordingly to bring her into a position where, for such a time as this, she could be used of God, and how God used the edicts of man to control his will and to do what he would have to be done. And you know how God has just given tremendous wisdom and favor to Esther, how she goes before the king and presents herself in a very dangerous moment, gains the king's attention. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we walked through the process there where Esther invited the king and Haman to these banquets, and she had a plan to unveil the evil that Haman had brought about the nation. And he had signed a deal with the king being a foolish man, not really recognizing fully what was happening, Haman taking advantage of that. And yet, even though the king did not know what was happening, God knew what was happening, and no one takes advantage of God. And so God begins to move. God reveals that he understands, reveals his power, and we've been enjoying the heights and the depths of this, the moments of drama, reading it, knowing the end from the beginning. But so fitting is it as we apply it to our daily lives, because so many times in our lives we face moments where God looks hidden, he looks absent, he looks weak, he looks insufficient, he looks listless, he looks like he doesn't care. None of this is true. This is how we judge the Lord, when all of the opposite is true according to the Word of God. But as we're learning these principles from Esther, we're learning how to survive the moments and trust the Lord in his faithfulness as we make our way through our lives according to as he would lead us. And so last week in chapter number 7, kind of a crude way to say it, but Haman got what was coming to him. And I preached a message entitled, "He Didn't See That Coming." And you know he was brought to the banquet. And there at the banquet, the second banquet, Esther reveals to the king the monster that Haman is. And Haman realizes very quick in verse number 6 of chapter 7 that he is in trouble. and he is afraid before the king and the queen. He feels like he has to plead for his life in verse number 7. Even in that, he stumbles, he falls on the bed with Esther. The king walks in, and things are complicated very quickly for Haman. Not only has he threatened the life of the queen, now he is threatening the purity of the queen. And before a word can even come out of Haman's mouth, in verse number 8, they put a hood or a covering over his face. And before he realizes what is happening, he is hung and hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Again, I would let you know that he did not see this coming. And yet, even with the destruction of Haman, the Jews are not out of trouble yet. And chapter number 8 is a recording of the understanding of more steps that need to happen. And so as we pick up, we'll read the whole chapter, knowing now that Haman has been hanged on those gallows, but that edict from the king is still out there. Remember that Haman had petitioned the king financially to destroy the Jews. And when Haman put to the king these people that were contrary to him, the king really didn't do his due diligence to find it out, but there were writings that the king made and were sent throughout all of the kingdom, and there was a date that was set about a year from the writing. So the writing went out, the death sentence went out, but they were not to commit the crime for about a year. This gave opportunity for all kinds of things. So even though Haman is gone, that law is still out there, and there's millions, some estimate about 100 million people within the region, about 15 million Jews there. These folks have all been instructed by the king that on a certain day, scholars believe in the month of March, they're supposed to annihilate the Jews. And so there's more work to be done. Pick up, if you would please, chapter number 8, verse number 1. On that day, speaking of the day that Haman was hanged, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen? And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. Now you know he was her cousin. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. That's just like God. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. You remember, the king turned over that right to write that law to Haman. He wrote that law. Verse number 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they've hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. So Esther pleaded with him to withdraw that law. And the king says, I can't. Not even the king can change the law of the Medes and the Persians. So what they had to do was write another law on top of that. Verse number 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and to the deputies and the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. I believe that's the longest verse in the Bible. Try memorizing that one for Awana. Verse number 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent it with the king's ring, and sent and riders, and sent letters by post on horseback, riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. And you understand, now the king's first law went everywhere the same way. All those people knew about it, so they got to get this new law out there so all these people know about this other one. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. So even back then, they had stand your ground laws. To destroy, to slay, to cause to perish, all the power of the people, there's a phrase we know, and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So that law said, if anybody comes against you, you have a right to stand for your life. Verse number 12. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the Jews, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Now that's where the first law was given, and that's where that law was given. Verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. This guy was dressed to the max, man. And the city of Shushan, what class? Rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light, gladness, joy, and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a what? And a good day. I'm so glad God put that in the Bible. You ever had a good day? You know, sometimes you just need a good day. You ever had a lousy day? If so, say amen. Pastor, I've had a lot of lousy days. We've all had lousy days. The opening of chapter 8, verse number 1 says, on that day, and the chapter closes, it was a good day. It was a good day. You could just imagine how truly a good day it was as they were rejoicing about all that God had done for them. I mean, their lives were in jeopardy. They were under a death sentence. It looked like Haman was going to be victorious. It looked like God was going to be insufficient. They did not see any way away from the powers. They knew the law could not be overturned. And yet, God showed himself strong on their behalf. They are given this opportunity. Haman has been destroyed. And God is moving. And it just was a good day. I submit to you, it is a good day when God moves on your behalf. I was just been so captivated by that phrase, and a good day. And I started thinking about that and just kind of imagining myself through chapter number 8. And thinking about the experience there, thinking about what they must have been thinking, thinking about being brought out of that despair and how life just in a day changed from negative to positive, from a death sentence to a life sentence, and how thankful and rejoicing they must have been, and how they gave God glory and praise for all that he had done. And I think when you go through chapter number 8, we can see that not only is it a good day for them, but there's some good lessons for us tonight in chapter number 8. And I think these are lessons that can practically be applied into our lives. When I was reading the chapter, 14 times the word king or kings is used. And I want to use, in breaking down the chapter for really and truthfully, for 4 points, three statements about the king. I want you to go back up into chapter 8, verse number 1, and underline, if you would please, the phrase, came before the king. Make your way, if you would please, to verse number 8, and underline, for the writing which is written in the king's name. Make your way, if you would please, to verse number 15 and underline the presence of the king in royal apparel. And I have a fourth point, but I don't want you to underline that yet. I broke the chapter down with these three thoughts. I enjoyed picturing Mordecai coming before the throne, before the king. After all that Mordecai has been through, think about what it must have been to see the king face to face. Think about all of the perplexity that Mordecai had been, all the danger, all the mistreatment. It was even Mordecai that had saved the life of the king, and hear the hatred from Haman and the disparity against him. And you can just imagine what Mordecai must have thought at one time or another about the king. And here all of a sudden he finds himself face to face with the king before his presence. And there's a reckoning there. Must have been a very, very sweet time for Mordecai. When I was thinking about Mordecai standing before the king Ahasuerus, I was thinking, you know, it's going to be a wonderful day when we stand before King Jesus. I think Mordecai could say, it was worth it all. I think Mordecai, when he's before the king, is sure as glad that he didn't operate in the flesh. Sure as glad that he didn't quit. He sure is glad that he stayed faithful. I was thinking about the wonder of standing before the king. You know, the Bible says that everybody in this room one day will stand before God. The Bible says that everybody on the planet one day is going to come before the king. There's two times that are recorded when this will happen in the Bible. I want you to listen to me carefully. Two of the most major times when humanity will stand before God, both of them are at judgments. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The other one is called the Judgment Seat of Christ. The Great White Throne Judgment is referenced in Revelation chapter 20. Just listen as I read it. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, speaking of Jesus, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, important and not important, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. You read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This judgment is for the believer. The great white throne judgment is for the unbeliever. But make no bones about it, my friend. The Bible says, for we must all give an account. Every person that is ever born will one day stand before King Jesus. And I picture Mordecai standing before King Ahasuerus. And you know, because I read you the chapter, there's a reckoning there. There is a reward there. There's an admonishing there. One day, Christian, you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account, not of your sin, but you're going to give an account for your faithfulness. You're going to give an account for how you served the Lord. You're going to give an account for what was a priority in your life. You're going to give an account for the secret motives of your life. Every work that you've ever done for the glory of God will pass through the fire to find out what sort of work it is. If it was done without any other measure other than the glory of God, it will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it will consume. If it's done for the glory of God, it will be like precious metal, and it will be refined, and it will be a blessing to you. One day, when I stand before King Jesus, I sure want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I got news for you, Christian. He's not going to say "well done" if it wasn't done well. Mordecai has his moment when he comes before the king. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're watching me online and you're not a Christian. The Bible says that you too one day will stand before Jesus. But those that have denied him as Lord and Savior, those that knew him to be the Savior for their sin, and those that have rejected him, they'll stand before him one day. And the book will be open, the word of God, and the books of their life will be open, showing God's love for them. And they will be judged. This time they will not be judged in righteousness. They will be judged for their sin. The Bible says, whosoever is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. I'm so glad when I die, I'm going to heaven. If you're glad about that, say amen. I was thinking about Mordecai standing before the king, but I was thinking about Dale. He'd have died 45 days ago. He wouldn't be before the king right now. I'm so thankful for that opportunity. I trust that you are serving the Lord faithfully, Christian. I trust that you're doing things for eternal value. I trust that when you're at the judgment seat, there will be some type of reward that you'll be able to return back to the Lord. You know, when I see before the king, not only do I see Mordecai before the king, but I like to see Esther before the king. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Esther spake yet again to the king." You know, the work wasn't finished. That edict was still out there. The Jews were still in danger. And Esther's before the king, and whereas Mordecai is being rewarded, Esther is petitioning at the throne. She's pleading with the king for the life of her brethren. And I look at that and I think what a privilege it was for Esther to have the position as queen. What a privilege it was for her to have access to the king. God had given her that access. The king granted her by holding out the golden scepter, and she was in a wonderful position to petition the most powerful man in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that I have access to the throne through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that I have been positioned in Christ so that I can petition him as my great high priest and as the most powerful God-man that ever liveth to maketh intercession for me. I can petition the Lord Jesus at the throne of God. And not only does he hear my petition, he answers our prayer. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about us coming boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 7 talks about how the Lord Jesus ever maketh intercession for us. I just want to ask you a question. How much time in prayer do you spend at the throne of grace? Would you note something about Esther that was precious at her time at the throne of grace? In verse number 3, it says, Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with what, class? Tears. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 5, God sees the tears of his people. Psalm 126, verse number 5, they that sow in tears reap in joy. Esther has tears as evidence of her burden. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 6. For how can I endure to see the what? Evil that shall come unto my people. You know, I'm moved by this. Esther carried a wonderful burden for her people. I hope and pray that you have a burden for lost souls, that you have a burden for people. I appreciate Pastor Lewis being here tonight. He's got a burden. I would submit to you, and I lump myself in this category, I'm not sure that the church carries an honest burden for people. I don't mean that on an individual level, and I don't mean that just about Plantation Baptist Church. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you cried when you prayed? Just think about that. When's the last time you wept? When you prayed with a burden so heavy on your heart that you couldn't fight, that you couldn't keep the tears back. I don't know that if we haven't gotten real good at manufacturing tears. I wrote this on my paper, and I believe I'm biblically right here. I don't think our prayers will ever be important to God until they're important to us first. I don't think our prayers will ever be important to God until they're important to us first. And I don't think that our prayers of power are going to have power unless we have a burden first. Mordecai's before the king. You and I are going to stand before the king one day. Mordecai's rewarded for doing well. I want to be rewarded for doing well. Esther realized there's still work to be done, so she's petitioning the king. She's gone to the highest authority in the land with her tears and with her burden for her people. I submit to you that God's people ought to be going to the throne of grace with burden for our folks to come to know the Lord Jesus. When's the last time you wept for somebody to be saved? I ask myself that same question. I was thinking about Candy Hinkle. I don't know if you're watching tonight, Candy, or not. I watched her weep for Dale. I've watched her and prayed with her when she's wept for her family. They that sow in tears reap in joy. I can't force you, and you can't force me to manipulate tears. But I do think tears are important when we pray. The second thing was the writing of the king that really got me. They were before the king. And the writing of the king. I had you underline it in verse 8. The passage goes from verses 7 to 14. When I read this and I think about the writing of the law, which could not be changed by the Medes and the Persians, no man could change that. I think about the unchanging word of God. No man can change the word of God. No man can deny the word of God. No man can belittle the word of God or overpower or underpower the word of God. The word of God is unchanging, it is all powerful, and it is that which you and I can hope and stand on. I like the fact that the language, the writings, if you notice, throughout, they were written for the language. In verse number 9, according to everyone in their own language, it was important to get the word in everyone's own language so they could know the edict. I would submit to you, that's why we have missionaries. I submit to you, that's why we have Bible translators. I submit to you, that's why Nick and Lorena are going to Japan. People need to hear the gospel in their own language. I love verse number 11. When I think about the writing of the king, and in that way it was unchangeable, I just thank God for the unchanging word of God. You will find that this writing, this law, brought about life. They were able to stand for their life. It is the word of God that brings life to the human heart. It's the word of God that brings life to the human soul. By the way, the Bible is a self-defense Bible. Pastor, I thought when they slapped me on the cheek, I was to turn the other cheek. They're not going to kill you by slapping you on the cheek, but if they try to shoot you dead, you have a right to defend your life. This is what was written here in verse number 11. I like what the writing of the king did in verse number 13. Would you look at this? The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that the Jews should be, what's that word? Ready against what? That day, right? This Bible tells you that you better be ready for that day when you meet Jesus. You better be ready for that day when your life is over. There is a day coming, and you better be ready for it. Pastor, how am I ready for it? By receiving Christ's blood for the forgiveness of your sin. I think all the writing that the king did, it was unchanging. It was in their languages. It enabled life. It enabled defense. It warned them against the coming day. These are all the things that the Word of God does. By the way, if you're happy to have a Bible, would you say amen to that? Quickly, and I move quickly. The reward of the king. I had you underline verse number 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light, gladness, joy, and honor. I love that. The reward of the king, a royal apparel, a crown of gold, a city of rejoicing, light, gladness, joy, honor. These are things that a human king could give, but these are great things that our King Jesus gives us. Mordecai may have been dressed in royal apparel, but praise God, you and I are dressed in the robe of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mordecai was given a crown of gold by an earthly king. You and I are going to be given the crown of life by our eternal king. The city of Shushan rejoiced. You ain't seen no rejoicing till we're in that city of heaven. We're going to rejoice together. Light, gladness, joy, and honor. These are things that only the king could bring to those people. And these are things that only Jesus can bring to us. I'm glad he's my light. I'm glad he's the gladness of my soul, the joy of my soul. And the honor that he brings to us. My friend, this is what God does. This is why you want God to have his way in your life. This is why you want to submit to the plan of God. This is why you want to submit to the will of God. This is why you don't want to fight God. This is why you want to trust God. Even when it hurts. Even when you don't think he's working. Even when it doesn't make sense to you. Even when there's loss. When God is finished, I promise you, your situation will be lighted, you will be glad, you will have joy, and he will bring you honor for his glory and for your good. This is what our God does. Amen? The people that quit, they stay in darkness. They're miserable. They lack joy, and they have no honor. Oh, Ahasuerus rewarded the people. He rewarded Mordecai. The people were blessed by him. But that's just a small thing of what Jesus could do. My last point, the delight of the king. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became what? Jews. Why would these folks become Jews? For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. This is interesting. This is the only place in the Old Testament where people became Jews based on the behavior of the Jews. You find it in the New Testament, but this is the only place in the Old Testament. I submit to you that this really and truthfully was the plan of God in using the Jewish people. He wanted to so bless the Jewish people that they would know by looking at them that they were the people of the one true God and would draw others. I have as my fourth point the delight of the king, because I think it did delight the king that the people became Jews. They became Jews in their practice. They became Jews in their behavior. They became Jews in their attitude. If you remember, his own people tried to kill him. It was the Jew that obeyed the king. It was the Jew that honored the king. It was the Jew that moved to protect the king. In practice, they were becoming better citizens of the kingdom, which I think was a delight to the king. I submit to you, this is what God intends for his church today. Not that we all become Jews, but that we, as the people of God, so have the power of God and the fear of God upon our lives that people see our lives and they want what we have. Let me explain something to you. There is no better evidence for Christ and no more powerful discrediting of Christ than your life, your behavior, your practice, your walk with the Lord. Such a power fell upon the Jews that the people of the land didn't want to kill them. They wanted to be like them. I would say we need that power on the Church of Jesus Christ today. Most of our friends and our neighbors and our family members and our loved ones, they need Christ. They're never going to want a Christ that doesn't shine real in our lives. If he's not evident in your life, they're not going to want him in their life. If he's not powerful in your life, they won't believe that he can be powerful in their life. If he doesn't bring to you light, gladness, joy, and honor because you won't let him, then they'll never trust him for light, gladness, joy, and honor. The best invitation for a person to come to Christ is a child of God. Pastor, I need a good day. I haven't had a good day in a long time. My day today was horrible. I see that hand. Pastor, how do I have a good day? Write these three things down. Remember, one day you're going to stand before the Lord. Everything will make sense then. Everything will be worth it all then. You do not want to quit or go astray before the final work is done. Number two, find life in the Word of God. Find light in the Word of God. Find love in the Word of God. It is impossible to have a good day apart from being in the Word of God. Number three, remember, reward comes from the Lord. Believe that reward comes from the Lord. He sees everything. He knows everything. He remembers everything. Your faithfulness does not go unnoticed. You want to have a good day? Begin with God at the throne. Find life in the Word of God. And believe reward comes from the Lord. If you don't see it in this lifetime, you sure will see it when you stand before Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, it was a good day. It was a good day before the throne and the King. It was a good day in the riding of the King. It was a good day in the reward of the King. And I think the King was delighted for the work and the subjects of His kingdom. One day we're all going to stand before You, Christian or not Christian, believer or unbeliever. Everyone's going to have to come before the King. I'm so glad that before I come before the King, I've already come to the King as my Lord and Savior. I'll never have to stand at the great white throne judgment and give an account for my sin. I get to be at the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for the way that we serve God. Esther knew work had to be done, and so she's petitioning at the throne. Much work has to be done in our lives. What a joy it is to know that we can come to the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. God, I don't think our prayers are ever going to be important to You until they're important to us first. I don't know when the last time we wept in prayer. Burdened. Burdened not just for our own needs, but burdened for people that need the Lord. Help us there, God. The writing of the King was unchangeable. The Word of God is unchangeable. We can count on it, live by it, find light, direction, hope, peace. The reward of the King is precious. It's a good day. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be a Christian. It's a good day to serve the Lord. Help us, God. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I think I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity tonight right where you sit. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. You don't know the Lord. You've never given your heart to the Lord. But you sense tonight the love of God, and you sense tonight the Lord Jesus just tugging on your heart. He's saying, I want you to come to Me. Right there where you sit, if you'd like to be a believer tonight, you can. You can acknowledge yourself a sinner. Reckon that God loves you. Jesus Christ came to the earth to die for your sin. And you're willing to trust Him and Him alone as your Savior. And believe upon Him as the Lord. You can call upon Him tonight by faith for salvation. The way you would evidence that is you would pray and ask the Lord. If you wanted to be saved right where you sit, you could simply pray and ask Him. I can lead you in an example prayer, and you can pray quietly. You would say something like, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that. I'm not proud of that, but I know that Jesus is the Savior, and I know He loves me, and I know He died for me, and I know He paid for my sin. Best I know how, God, I ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, wash me, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, I repent, and I trust You. Save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I believe You're the Son of God. And then you would simply just say something like, In Your name, Jesus, I pray. And you'd say, Amen. I wonder, with heads bowed, nobody looking, just tender, you're out there in the balcony, on the floor. I would never embarrass you, call your name. But you would say, Pastor, right there in my seat, I prayed to ask Jesus to be my Savior, and I gave Him my heart tonight. Don't embarrass me. Don't call my name. But here's my hand to let you know I did that. Pray for me, Pastor. If you did that and you received the Lord and you would want to let me know, would you just lift your hands quietly, silently? I'll just take a moment and look. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for meeting with us tonight. May we leave here encouraged. May we leave here strengthened. May we leave here knowing tomorrow's going to be a good day as we reckon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Our song to go home is a little chorus. It goes, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I love this little chorus. Stand if you would. Let's sing it one time. We'll be dismissed. See you back on Sunday morning.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King. Good night, everyone. You are dismissed.